Oh, this is the hour, the interactive portion of the program where we'll take your calls with William Henry right here on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, William Henry with us, and your phone calls this hour. William, do you have anything going on in Nashville, some kind of event coming up?
No events right now, but I offer tours of Nashville all the time.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Yeah.
How does that work?
Well, they can go to my website, williamhenry.net, and look for under my tour section for my Nashville tours. I call it the Path of Souls, and the tour involves visits to two temple sites here in Nashville. We have a scale replica of Athena's Parthenon from ancient Athens, and then we also have a 2,200-foot-long magician's rod that is laid out and growing at the base of our state capitol. That is, I call it Stargate Park because it's one of the most remarkable examples of ancient Stargate symbolism anywhere in the world.
Nashville is one of those towns that people are moving to, isn't it?
Oh, it's unbelievable. I mean, the growth that we've experienced here in just the past few years has just been astounding, and I hardly recognize the city anymore with all the new construction going around.
If you met the devil one-on-one, what would you talk with the devil about?
I would talk with it about the soul and how we need to... People need to be raised with the idea that they have a soul, that is the ultimate gift from God, and that even the devil is a creation of this God as well. And my intention in doing that would be to try to flip the devil from a figure of great darkness and being a tempter and seducer into one that is instead focused on bringing awakening and love.
Would you be scared to talk to the devil?
I've probably talked to the devil in some form
already
many, many times. And we come face to face with that kind of darkness, and I won't necessarily use the word evil, although that's
it's real.
What's going on? Yeah. You know, when you have a company like Facebook that knows that they're addicting children to their product and do it anyway, that's pretty devilish to me.
I know somebody who got off Facebook and then went right back on like a week later because they couldn't take the withdrawal.
Well, it definitely is an addiction, and it as I said earlier, it's a form of child abuse as well. And we give it a pass because these people make so much money, and ultimately it serves the governmental interest to have a surveillance technology where people willingly give over all of their personal details. And you just think, well, okay, do we really need this as a society? What has this technology really done for our society except brought a lot of division and brought a lot of pain?
I mean, it's got some aspects to it which are kind of neat, you know, where people can communicate with each other and stuff. But My gosh, do you really want to know what your buddy is eating for dinner at a restaurant? I mean, people are taking pictures of their food, and I mean, it's gotten out of hand.
Yeah, it's just completely taken over in ways that I don't think the founders really intended this to occur, but it's happened, and here we are now, and we have to deal with it. And it's we could have already passed beyond the point of no return. I hope not, and it may in fact take some form of outer intervention, be it a solar flash or something even more dramatic than that, to wipe out this technology. But it really is. Artificial intelligence is a disease. It's a virus. It's taken over humanity. And in fact, it will bring the end of the human race in my lifetime. In the next few years, in fact, we will cease being human beings, and we will now enter into this post-human phase. And this is all in the hands of well-known people that people worship as these great tech titans. And in fact, what they are doing is operating on behalf of an extraterrestrial entity that's seeking to bring about the demise of the human race.
Absolutely. William Henry with us, our special guest. His website, williamhenry.net. His couple books include Cloak of the Illuminati, Oracle of the Illuminati. What are you working on in that area?
Well, I'm working on several new books right now. I'm about to finish a book I've been working on for a very long time about the Essenes. And I'm also working on a book right now on resurrection oils, all of these incredible stories of otherworldly beings bringing oils from other worlds made from plants that we don't even have awareness of here on our planet of that will be coming to Earth soon.
Let's go to the phones. Let's start with Tom in La Jolla, California. Hey, Tom, you're up.
George, thank you for accepting my call. William, it's always a pleasure for the Coast audience to hear your speculations and research. Thank you so much. Comment and then a question.
Okay.
Many, many years ago, could have been 20 years ago, I remember reading an essay by you, William, on sacred architecture and sacred geometry expressed in architecture. And you cited the cathedrals in Europe. You cited the city design of Washington, D.C. You cited the temples in Egypt. And you cited, above all, the city where you lived, Nashville, Tennessee. Mm-hmm. And in a sense, artificial intelligence, social media, is a trance. It's a hypnosis. And in fact, it's an addictive hypnosis. And I've often wondered, and you may agree or disagree, that the sacred geometry expressed in city design, like Washington, D.C., like Nashville, is an attempt to break the trance over decades, over a century. And no matter what state of consciousness you have, if you walk through a temple in Egypt or through a cathedral, or, you know, if you stand at Washington, D.C., walking the mall, or if you go to Nashville, as you've described, it's breaking the trance. It's almost like the sacred geometry, the sacred architecture is, how should I say it, subliminal. You know, it's communicating to your soul, okay? And so I was wondering if you would be willing to speak about your personal experiences, about the impact of, well, walking Nashville. How does it impact your neurology, your thinking, your emotions, above all, how does it elevate your soul? And if you could give personal experiences, that would be tremendous. And again, thank you, William, for everything that you and your spouse, Claire, do.
Oh, well, thank you so much. That was a beautiful...
Very complimentary.
...statement. Yes, thank you. I appreciate that very much. And you're right. These sacred sites are imbued with a spiritual vibration or an essence, knowledge that awakens the soul. They're meant to communicate with the soul, and that is very important, as you suggested, for why they break the AI and transhuman trance, is because it does connect us with our soul. And by definition, AI and transhumanism nullifies or negates the concept of the soul. So this is why we need to seek these spiritual sites, spend time in nature, just studying a leaf, hugging a tree. These sound like trite actions, but actually it's your soul that's being fed by those activities. And in terms of my personal experiences in Nashville, gosh, I've been walking these temples for 20 years with thousands of people, everyone from artists, musicians, writers, shamans, scientists. And what's so beautiful about these experiences is that everybody has a unique eye. And so these temples are really open books. And depending on which eyes you decide to read the book through, that's going to be the story that's told. And I would encourage, again, anybody that's interested, go to my website, williamhenry.net, look up my Sacred Nashville Path of Souls tour, and come and take a walk with me. It's very difficult for us right now to travel to places like Egypt or Peru or France, Italy, Israel, the places we all love to go, but we can all come to Nashville and have this temple experience.
You are considered actually a futurist as well. As you look into the future, how does it look for us?
Well, we're right at that point where we're deciding, are we going to have the apocalypse in terms of a revelation of high spiritual knowledge, or are we going to submit to the beast? That's where we're at right now. And I believe that these next couple of years are going to tell the story. Even 2021, we're going to see the rise of AI, which is part of the acceleration in UFO disclosure. We're going to see the rise of the one world government, the totalitarian state, which is a preamble to merging with an extraterrestrial economy of some kind. The alien invasion has already begun. In my view, the Trojan horse is virtual reality. We're going to see a fully digital being emerge, some kind of an avatar emerging from the VR world that people will begin to tap into. And what will start to happen is that we will ultimately, and this is the scary part, see a major population decrease, where the big tech swingers, are their ultimate aim is to get us to live online in their black boxes in Silicon Valley. And that is the most alarming part of this, and we'll start to see the coercion in that area. We've already started to see it in movies like Ready Player One and those types of things. This idea of people being responsible for killing the planet, your very presence on the planet is now basically unwelcome. And if you decide that you don't want to participate in the new communistic or socialistic global government, then you're going to have some real problems coming up.
You know, William, what I think is the most amazing part of all this technology is the ability to communicate with each other. I mean, can you imagine sending a text message from one point to another, or a picture from one point to another, and it arrives within seconds after you send it? I mean, it's truly remarkable.
It is, and it does bring people together, and that is a wonderful aspect of technology, and this is what we should be focusing on. But for some reason, the people that develop this technology want to determine what you say to your loved one in those face-to-face or Zooms.
Are they reading what you say to your loved one?
They're listening to everything.
Oh,
everything is recorded. They're listening to absolutely everything. And what's going to happen next is that they're going to decide, well, you can't use our service any longer because we don't like what you're saying to your loved one.
Well, that's happened. That's
and
true.
And that has happened. And so that's the problem here with this. Would you rather have that technology and be told what you can and can't say in your private moments, or would you rather live without it?
Let's go to Lori, British Columbia, Canada. Hi, Lori. Thanks for calling.
Hi, George. Hi, William. Thanks so much for taking my call.
Of course. Absolutely.
I've always heard that the mark of the beast will be in your right hand.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know if the chips have to be in your right hand?
They can be. Yeah, absolutely.
And you're not sure, though, William, that it's going to be a chip. It could be something else, right?
It could be something else. For the moment, when we talk about chip, we're talking about a technology that breaks the skin barrier. That's what I mean by chip.
Okay.
And clearly, when they're talking about a mark or implant on the right hand or on the forehead, it's an invasive technology that is meant to ultimately control you. It's placed in there as a communications device to string you up to what they're now calling the Internet of Bodies and to effectively take control of your body.
The Nazis put numbers on the poor victims of the Holocaust.
They put numbers, and they also put yellow stars on the victims. And it's a very controversial idea, this reintroducing the idea of the yellow star. But some people in the anti-vax community are concerned that they're going to be turned into a different class of human. They'll be forced to have some kind of identification mark that says that they're not, quote-unquote, safe, because they haven't taken a vaccine. These are all ideas that are being discussed now in our culture, and it's alarming. And people just go along with it because the government says we have to do this.
Amazing technology, Lori. Thanks, and just wonder how many people will not be, and we will use the word chip, will not be chipped when the time comes. Would you do it, William?
No, at this moment today, no, I would not. And
what if you can't do anything? You can't buy gasoline. You can't go into a store. You can't go to your bank if you don't have one.
Well, we have been able to live without it for a very long time, and ultimately, what the concern is that you're not just submitting to receiving a chip or an implant. What you're submitting to and acknowledging is that you don't have a soul, that you are not created by God, that you are just a worthless entity, that you're just simply a collection of data and information. That, in my opinion, is the real problem with it, is it is this denial of who we are as spiritual beings. That's what they're trying to eradicate.
Let's go out to Boston. Carl's with us. Hey, Carl, thanks for calling.
Oh, hi, George. Thank you for taking my call. Hi, William.
Hi there.
I respect your work. Anyway, my first question is, do you think the Tic Tacs are from another galaxy or AI or even humans from our future?
Well, I wonder if the like the Tic Tac video is actually showing something from our past, that these might have they've been here for a very, very long time. They could be intergalactic or extraterrestrial, but I also am thinking because they correspond to what we see in ancient stories about similar craft, that these are, in fact, coming from our past, maybe not if not our future.
Let's get your second question, Carl. Go ahead.
Okay, my next question, and then I have two comments, is do you think that the future is already written?
And I think
that's interesting. And we'll get your comments right after he responds, Carl.
I think there's trajectories, there's scenarios that get put into place, and it's up to us to decide how we want to navigate those scenarios. Book of Revelation, excellent example. Here's the archetypal drama, the basic story elements. How will you respond? Will you decide you're going to take the mark of the beast, or will you decide, no, I'm going to develop my spiritual capabilities, and I'm going to activate the seal of God within my forehead that is going to protect me from the mark of the beast?
Well, you remember how you used to talk about Saddam Hussein, and he always thought he was the reincarnated Nebuchadnezzar?
Yeah.
You know, so maybe he thinks he had the ability to change the future or the past. Carl, let's go with your comments, Carl. Go ahead.
Yeah, okay. My first comment is a big one. I know that time travel exists. And my second comment is, what if the tests that China or Russia were tempered with in the 2010 attacks were quote-unquote fake because God is walking the earth and it is not his will and it cannot be succeeded?
In terms of the time travel, how do you know it happens?
Well, I can't disclose that. It's a little bit confidential. But, I mean, I could talk to you after the show, or I can send you a text or something. But I've been there.
You're a time traveler?
I don't have any memory, but I know I left.
Future or past?
Future.
Interesting take on all of that. Yeah, send me an email if you can at george@coasttocoastam.com. That's fascinating, William. He's a time traveler.
That's very interesting. Yeah, I've always been intrigued by the concept of time travel and how you might be able to leave a message to your future self and carry on. You know, you mentioned Saddam Hussein a moment ago, believing that he had past life memories as Nebuchadnezzar and believed he was. And Mark Zuckerberg thinks he's Caesar.
The reincarnated Caesar?
Yeah, on their honeymoon. His wife is like, we went to Rome for our honeymoon. It was me, Mark, and Caesar, because he's obsessed with Caesar. He thinks he's Caesar. That's why he's got that haircut.
Can you imagine dabbling in college on what was Facebook, and then it exploded into what it is today? My gosh. I don't think he even thought. I'd love to get him on the show as a guest. Maybe we can try that.
That would be incredible. The story, the arc of his life is truly incredible, from coming up with an idea to keep track of pretty girls Harvard campus to becoming
look what it is. That's right. We're going to come back and take final calls with you, William, in a moment. Fast couple hours. We'll be back. Next hour, we're talking about the spirit world with Jeffrey Jowett, so make sure you're part of the program. We're going to come back with William Henry and take final phone calls as we talk about his incredible work and what a job he does. My gosh. Welcome back to Coast to Coast. William Henry with us. His website, williamhenry.net. He is a futurist, mythologist, and he is a noted author as well. He also appears on the History Channel's Ancient Aliens, Unexplained with William Shatner. His Gaia television show is called Ascension Keepers. You've had fun doing that program, William.
Oh, I loved them all. I mean, it's such an honor and a privilege to be able to participate in any of those programs.
Fantastic. And we'll take final calls with you in just a second. A couple more questions, and then we'll go to final calls. They keep lining up. People are concerned that government intrudes in everything they do. Do you think that's true?
I absolutely think it's true. I mean, we actually have really little true comprehension of just how intrusive it is. I mean, we've known over the past decade or so that they're recording our phone calls, that every keystroke online is ultimately monitored. It even goes down to if you type something, for example, on your Facebook wall, and then you decide not to actually post it, that's still recorded. It's like Judgment Day in a way, George, where all the books are opened and everything you've ever done in your life, if you're put under that microscope, everything you've done in the past 10 years has been recorded somewhere. Somebody knows about it. Every search you've done online, every phone call, every conversation, everywhere you've gone with your smartphone as part of your body, all of that's recorded. And why do they need that? What are they trying to do? I mean, we're all being treated as criminals and terrorists, basically. That's what they're saying. But I think it's really a preamble or a buildup to what is to come, as I said earlier, where they wipe out the concept of the individual and we're all just part of this monolithic human race. That seems to be the goal. No borders, no races, no nationalities. Just everybody is simply not even a human being anymore, but now a post-human being.
Let's go to Mayette in the city of New York. Hello, Mayette.
Yes, good morning, gentlemen. William, you're just one of my favorite guests. But I want to ask about two mythological figures and stories. And I want to give a little background as to what's motivating the question. First of all, we saw something so extraordinary and horrific January 2nd, 6th. And in terms of white supremacists, white Christian nationalists, and QAnon that wants the violent storm, I think that it connects to those of us who feel like Cassandra and her story and Sisyphus. And I wanted this Christian nationalism that's growing up, I want to reference just having finished a book, William, and I recommend it to everyone. It sort of puts a big puzzle piece in place, and it's called The Cult of Trump. A leading cult expert explains how the president uses mind control, by Stephen Hassan. And in one part in the back of the book, The Influencers, he goes into behind the scenes Christian nationalism. You spoke about the tech authoritarians, but a Christian nationalism and a secret society, Opus Dei it's called, that is really also trying to put a type of Christian nationalism in place that will also be a part of the authoritarian agenda. So if you have my questions and concerns, Cassandra here, and also speak to Sisyphus. And I'll look forward to your response. Thank you, George.
Take a few of those, William, or maybe just one.
Yeah, so the idea that we're all, in the story of Sisyphus, he's pushing a rock up a hill, and it seems like an impossible task. And that does feel like our daily bread right now, that we've got this immense burden that's on us right now, and we're having to overcome that. And part of the way we do that is to see beyond our current situation, get into our future selves, wire our brain into our future selves in a very positive sense, and learn to be bigger than the challenges that are before us.
Next up, we've got Joe in Long Island, New York. Hi, Joseph. Go ahead.
Two quick questions. One would be about 5G. I hear something in Manhattan about the layering of the 5G within the 5G, you know, like a cake. You know, there's three different wavelengths going, one for one level, the next layer in the cake is another level, and another level. And then I hear some guy in Pensacola, Florida, suddenly found a 5G tower on his front lawn. And then it might be tied into the collapse of the bee colonies. Now, the other thing is just the fear of God. I mean, if you look, ultimately, God destroyed the earth through the flood, through angels, destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. The Nineveh was threatened destruction through Jonah, but it wasn't destroyed. I don't know if we're Nineveh or where Sodom and Gomorrah.
Interesting take. What do you think of 5G, William?
Well, I wrote an article a couple of years ago on my website called 5G, Humanity's Baptism by Fire. And in the Bible, Matthew, it talks about a prophecy. Actually, John the Baptist says that one who's more powerful than I is coming after me, and he'll baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. So there's two different baptisms there, one by the Holy Spirit that's spiritual, another by fire. And I started to think, well, that's kind of like 5G. Elon Musk is launching all these satellites to irradiate every living thing on this planet, so 5G will be inescapable to anything on this planet. That's a form of a baptism. Is Elon Musk going to baptize us with the Holy Spirit or with fire? With fire, 5G. And as the prophecy says, this baptism will separate wheat from chaff. That's what 5G does, because once we have the 5G, now all those implants, now all of that technology suddenly comes to life. 4G's too slow. Can't make the technology work with that. 5G, 6G is absolutely required. And so from the big tech perspective, 5G will separate wheat from chaff, because the wheat, in their view, will be the ones who accept the chips and the implants and turn themselves into cyborgs. And the chaff will be us old, pathetic, biological humans who decide we don't want to become puppets on the Internet of bodies. And so that's where we're at right now. 5G is the fire, I believe, of this Bible prophecy, and everybody's just seemingly going along with it. There are pockets of people that are pushing back, but when Elon Musk has got his satellites launched and Jeff Bezos follows on behind him, and you can't even see Mars because you can't see past the satellites in Earth's orbit, then that is when the big tech swingers take total control of humanity.
Bob in Manhattan, welcome to the program, Bob.
Hi, yes, there's a recent report about a alien invasion planned by the Illuminati. And Avi Loeb, Harvard professor, says there's an alien probe came to Earth. And he's a Harvard professor of many articles in New York Times, different sources, that could named after a Hawaiian thing.
Mm-hmm.
It could possibly be a probe with a solar sail. It could possibly be a fake alien invasion to trick us into submitting to the New World Order.
What do you think of that, William? And Avi's been on our program before, and he does believe that we've been visited.
Oh, I absolutely think so. In fact, when the Oumuamua story first broke, and this idea of an alien probe, it rang of the ancient Egyptian stories about celestial beings sending a probe to Earth, or what they described as a cosmic egg that ultimately engendered life on Earth. And so I think that possibly what we're dealing with Oumuamua is actually a returning craft, and that it was kind of coming in to check out and see what progress that we've made on this planet.
How are the people we seeded, huh?
Exactly. And in fact, I've got an article on my website. It's called Oumuamua and the Ancient Egyptian Astro Chickens, and it's based on this idea that in the ancient Egyptian creation story, they very clearly describe some form of an extraterrestrial craft, again, a cosmic egg engendering life on Earth. And then, in fact, John von Neumann described such a craft as an astro chicken. It would be a self-replicating robot that has packed within it, all kinds of AI technology, some kind of biological material, so that it, when it finds a planet that's capable of being seeded with life, that this astro chicken could, quote-unquote, lay an egg, and out would pop instant civilization. And again, this is what we find in these ancient Egyptian myths. So I don't think this is a necessarily a new story. I think this Oumuamua, the messenger, has been around again and again.
Let's go to Linda Marie in Medford, Oregon. Hello, Linda. Go ahead.
Hi, George. Hello, William Henry. I've been following you since you came to visit us in Ashland, Oregon. That was about 25, 30 years ago. Mm-hmm. Anyhow, what I'm asking is, you mentioned that the mark of the beast would be something that breaks through the skin. Is it possible it's either one of the current COVID vaccines or one that's coming? And also, are being forbidden to relate and touch each other, you know, in person, is that preparing us to be cyborgs, be artificial intelligence?
Yeah, I would go along with quite a bit of that, actually, because you're actually not even allowed to ask a question about what the vaccine is, what's in it, is it safe, what are the long-term ramifications of it. And back last spring, when we started really talking up the vaccine as an answer to COVID, you know, that's exactly when we get conversations about ID 2020 and the quantum dot tattoos that would work in conjunctions with Bill Gates's ID 2020, and you can see exactly how these ideas are starting to come together, and that in fact what we are looking at is a, if not the actual mark of the beast with these quantum tattoos, certainly the forerunner of what would fulfill that prophecy.
South Africa already is dumping AstraZeneca's because they don't think it works.
Good for them. I mean, there's for every bit of science that you're saying is behind it, there's science that also says this isn't something we want to get behind. So it should be up to the individual to decide what they want to do, and you should still be able to function in society with or without the vaccine, because we don't know if it works or if it doesn't work.
Next up on the wild card line is Cornelius in Louisiana. Hello there.
Hey there, George. I wanted to tell you, too, I'm the God, Guns, and Gold man, the Bible, Bullets, and Beans man there, Mr. William Henry. And I think I've talked to you a time or two. I'm in the Bible prophecy. George, I love you. You've gotten these two guys on about Bible prophecy. I think it's near the end. I feel sorry for poor Mayette. Now, I'm a Trump supporter and an African-American, so I'm not in no cult or nothing like that, and they're just wrong about that. But, George, Saturday before last, they had Art Bell on with Ed Dames, and he was reviewing the Antichrist and the devil.
Right.
He said around 2020, the Antichrist would be showed and stuff like that. And with William Henry coming out with all this stuff about the tattoo and all like that, I believe these are the end times that we're in, and people need to get ready. I'm glad a lot of people are moving to the South, because we're the Bible Belt. We'll be the last holdout and all this stuff. And, George, I don't know if you saw this. In St. Louis, they had that uprising. A guard was hurt.
In the prison, yeah, and, absolutely, yeah, in the jail.
They got some kind of surveillance system in St. Louis that they were voting on where they could spy on y'all. So just be aware there, George. William Henry, like I said, I think it's the end, and you're preparing us. And the guy Ben Baruch you had on the other night, George, for some reason you're getting us ready. And with that cyber thing that happened in Florida, I think we're going to have a cyber attack. So,
well, they've been trying that for a long, long time. But back to end times prophecy for a second, William. How much time do we have?
Less than 5 years, I would say, and that's based on statements by Elon Musk and others that by then we will be merged with AI, and perhaps we'll even experience the singularity at that point when these machines take on superhuman intelligence. And so I would say at the most 5 years is where we're at right now.
That's not a lot of time there, Mr. Henry.
No, it's not. And it's clearly accelerating, and it's dramatically accelerating. And so now it's time for us to go deep within our heart, deep within our soul, find out who we truly are as people, and stick to that.
Only got about a minute left, William. If you would be so kind to tell folks about your website and what they can expect when they go to it.
My website is williamhenry.net. You'll find information. I've got 35 articles about AI, transhumanism, prophecy, all the subjects that we've talked about tonight, as well as information about video courses that I offer on ascension, awakening the human light body, and where we go from here.
And, of course, you keep at it in your health as well. Everything good there?
Very good. Thank you for asking, George.
Good, William. You take care of yourself. Say hi to Claire for us. And I don't know where we'll see you, but maybe at one event sometime when things open up again, huh?
I will sure look forward to that. And much love and God's blessings to everybody.
And, again, if people want a tour of Nashville, what do they do?
Come to my website, williamhenry.net. I've got a banner right on the front page. I can take it from there.
Okay, my friend. Be well. William Henry. WilliamHenry.net is his website. Up next, we're going to talk about the spirit world, so get ready, and we'll take your calls in the last hour of the program on Coast to Coast. Also, don't forget to subscribe to our free YouTube channel by going to YouTube and up in the search bar, put in Coast to Coast AM Official. It's got to be like that. You can also get it by hitting the YouTube icon at coasttocoastam.com and also TikTok, Instagram, follow us on Facebook. We'll be back.